Greetings and salutations, people of the internet. Welcome to the Barely Superman podcast, a conversational podcast where I talk to you about things that matter to me today. Now, today is a bit different. I haven't uploaded anything in a while, so I thought rather than just have it empty and having that void never being filled, hashtag void, I thought it would just be like worthwhile to just record something just so that there's something there on the internet for people to listen to. It's the other side to it where I wrote something and there's a lot of people that tend to not like to read a lot of text because reading text is boring. So I thought rather than having people just force themselves to read something that they might necessarily not want to spend time reading rather than just like listening to something, which is what some people prefer to have, I thought this would be a good method to have some content in the meantime so that at least there's something interesting to spark conversation, which is usually what this thing is about. And also it's a timepiece. With this particular format today, I will put the link to that particular article in the description so that you can read it, so that you don't have to necessarily listen to this as what is essentially an audiobook version of that article. I just wanted to try out reading that piece because it's a piece about my experience with online dating applications and pretty much how there's, well, you know what, I'll go right into it without giving you that many spoilers. And the title of the piece itself is called Am I Ugly? So with that, I'm gonna go into it. So wish me luck. I've occasionally walked past the mirror and had to really evaluate my position in the world. Is what I think important? Let's kick this straight from the get-go. That question is relative. It's like asking what art is. However, whether you like it or not, every society has standards, but understanding those standards will help you feel beautiful. Well, that's what I wanted to uncover. Am I ugly, or is society? After the breakup with the last girlfriend, I was left with questions of beauty and relationships. I've said this on occasion, that my ex was in every sense beautiful at times, but at the same time not my type. And believe me, that does sound like the deep contradiction it is. I was drawn to her by her actions and how our goals at the time aligned. I've always thought about how personality comes before looks, because those eventually fade. Also, the thing about beauty is, if you look at a painting, you'll always find something you love about it. I first noticed how she wasn't archetypically my type when things started to go irreparably wrong. That isn't to say looks don't play a big part. We are chemically driven after all. Since that entire episode, I've subjected myself to various dating apps and social encounters to better understand my standing in society. I thought about all of my ex-girlfriends and how in the story if the stories were true, then I would be batting out of my league in every single one of those relationships. I wanted to see if I stood in society, in the proverbial attractiveness scale, to see where I fit, like the idea, the society's idea of me, where I align with that, and what I believe to be true. And just to set the record straight, I think I sit at a solid 5.5. The average person gets scored a 6. So I wanted to know whether I really was a 3 in 5.5 clothing, Or maybe I'm undervaluing my stake in society. And as history has shown, I have nothing but amazing women in my repertoire, even though this is still even regarded highly, even in society standards. So has my luck run out? Has my luck finally run out? I wanted to challenge society's humility and see whether they truly thought that beauty was, in fact, skin deep. Personally, I think that saying is full of itself. Or up its own ass. Ass. It's like saying money doesn't matter. We tend to skew reality when we don't have things others have. It's like when you pick up a shirt in the clothing store. You love the shirt until you look at the price tag. That new information skews your perspective of it all. Much like how a woman you're interested in over time, when troubles waters come, well, as a woman, this is from my perspective, becomes demonized and unattractive. I started off with OkCupid in 2013. And yes, I've been on dates since then, so stop judging me. I thought it would be the safest place to start off because of all the stories I've heard that it's about the personality. I wanted to travel a lot more at that time, and I thought OkCupid would allow me to find people with my interests in cities I was alien to and find someone to quickly share a human moment with. OkCupid is a dating site where you build your profile, answer some crazily addictive questions, then it builds a database of who it thinks will align to your beliefs. Did I just turn Australian for a second? You can also add how you'd like the other person on the other end to respond. Even what is effectively just looking for a friend setting, which is, and I must admit, I was drawn to it. This is part of the match percentile, but there's a lot more going on in the background. It isn't as clear-cut as I originally believed. When I was ready to be judged in a second with a swipe to the left purely based on my looks, and with nothing going for me in terms of personality, I booted up Tinder. I thought Tinder would be the scary of the two, but alas, it was actually the least intimidating. It was simple. Something you like, swipe right, and inverse for things you don't. Statistically, men swipe right more often because it's a strategy and strategically more advantageous to send hundreds of attempts in hopes that one person will swipe right. This is why Tinder has a revenue model based on the number of likes, and even a new feature called super likes, which are supposed to actually show that you're interested in an individual and not just play on statistics. The bigger problem is there's a problem with the male to female ratio on the dating sites, with more males sending a barrage of hey to unwanting females. With Tinder, unlike OkCupid, the not matching aspect acts as a barrier of entry. So when a match does occur, there's a higher likelihood that a conversation can ensue. Tinder successfully managed to gamify dating. 1 month on 1 month with both places and I was exhausted. I had to figure out how to strategically organize my photos to give the best impression of who I think I am, as you're being judged to pass or fail in a moment's glance. It was simple art, mathematics, design, and marketing principles. Then there was the wait for the inevitability. I never played the statistical game. That would affect my data. The people I matched with had to be those that evoked something within me to make them like me. I noticed something unusual about my matches on the two platforms. On Tinder, I was more often than not matched with girls I ranked very highly on the hotness scale, in accordance with how I rated myself. I was playing way out of my league, so to speak. However, on OkCupid, I was matched with only people that were that had very unusual personalities. Insane. And I mean insane cat people. And then there was those who didn't even make an attempt to court the opposite sex. And quite frankly, there were people who were irate about unnecessary social issues and think too highly of themselves, when the truth of the matter is, according to society, they were not up to scratch. And according to my scale, this bad personality made me feel like I was put in a middle school coach instead of a major league, to stick with the theme. At first I thought that's just how the UK was in terms of platform usage, until I got this specific email. Now, on the article, you can actually see the email itself, but the email reads, "Hey Marcello, we just detected that you are among the attractive people on OkCupid. We learned this from clicks on your profile and reaction in your quick match. Did you get a new haircut or something? Well, it's working. To celebrate, we've adjusted your OkCupid experience. You'll see more attractive people in your results." I had changed nothing about my profile, but my profile had changed, and in turn, I had changed. I became angry. I felt like I'd been done a disservice. At first, I thought this was a marketing ploy to get me to use the service more, but lo and behold, when I next signed in, crazy cat ladies were gone. People on the platform actually cared about their profiles, and I was exposed to a caliber of individuals that otherwise would have been locked away because OkCupid thought I was previously not attractive. Now, Tinder and OkCupid were now giving me the same statistic. Did it change my opinion of myself? Absolutely. I downgraded myself to a 5. For some strange reason, I wasn't clicking with people. I'd match on Tinder, I'd start up conversations on OkCupid, but they would both fizzle out and lead to nowhere. I was doing much better in the real world, using the age-old method of talking to real people. Turns out, I can be really good at that. As for my digital footprint, I thought I was the problem. And in all fairness, I still might be. However, there was a pattern. I clicked with most of the people from specific regions and specific races. That did not feel like a coincidence. Then I started doing some research, if I was the only one experiencing this. And then I got a statistical representation of the women I matched in and their locations on OkCupid. Now, if you go to the article, there's a massive map of the United States. OkCupid had sampled about 4,697. That's the sample size. And of all of those states, states like New York and Pennsylvania and New Jersey, those states were green, like California, green. Places where you would necessarily look at it and be like, those are states where someone of my highly melanized skin would not fare too well. Places like Texas. And the top sites were Montana, New Hampshire, Wisconsin, Rhode Island, and Pennsylvania. And the bottom sites were Arkansas, West Virginia, Texas, Nebraska, and Louisiana. Interesting. A very strong correlation between ethnic groups on both fronts. Then I looked at the globe in detail. Now, on the map, it represents the countries that I wouldn't match well with in blue, and the match countries would be green. And the lighter the color, the darker the color, the stronger it aligns to that particular region. And places like the UK and Deutschland, possibly, those are kind of blue regions. They're not places where statistically speaking, I would necessarily gel with people. And of the worst countries were Brazil, Finland, Italy, Spain, and Canada. And of the best countries, Romania, South Korea, which surprised me a hell of a lot because, South Korea is the bomb diggity arm, Russia, which is also surprising, Mexico, and Malaysia. That was interesting. And for a while, this brought me back to a 5.5 because I looked at the average person of each of those cities, and then I was like, yeah, I could probably match up to that. And in places like Brazil, like where like the average person is just super not on my level, I was just like, that makes sense where that would be my worst country. So yeah, and then I started doing correlations. And one thing I did recognize with that map is it really did correlate with my life. Every girlfriend, every date, every partner, and whatever you wish to call it, I've had really did correlate with the map. And in terms of personality, ideals, attractiveness, and social stance. And of the relationships that were most sour, the last one, she was the only one from a blue country. But I thought this was too deterministic. Statistics were merely representative. So during my travels, I took the sites with me and would invest in time in the day to actively continue being a member in a new environment, and wouldn't change my speaking habits in terms of talking to real people. And much like the map suggested, the areas I performed best were the green areas, and the places where I swiped left the most were the blue areas. Take UK for example, which all that UK is diverse, and sure, this is a place that diversity exists in the variety of races. Well, at least in London, that's true. But there's a hive mind sensibility, and it really show sh like it sh was show like it's shun, shun, shun. I should stick to reading. And the Brexit vote, not to date when I'm actually writing this segment, was an example of this. You either think like us or you're an idiot kind of mentality. This finding solidified what I took for in a potential partner and made swiping and disliking process a lot easier. I created ground rules and made it that even someone who wasn't me could pick up the app and go for what I would go for, and believe me, they have. But something had been bothering me, and I was, and it was, whew, and it was that I was having a lot more success with some races and not others. Not only that, the speed of engagement was almost instantaneous when one particular one, my own, black. I've been brought up to believe that black is beautiful, and it is, but I've been asking around and doing my own research on how society really feels, and there's a few individual races who've internalized this, define black to actually be beautiful. But believe me, Pornhub has great data on this, and you should look into it. It's in the sources, don't worry. I have it. I got your back. And no matter how you look at it, there's quite a bit of overlay between my green map and the map areas of a particular genre of porn. But riddle me this, right? I started to feel like I was drawing straws and overestimated my 5.5 because maybe I was actually a 3. But then, how can I be a 7 to one race and a 3 to other? Well, it turns out when it comes to dating sites in general, I'm not the only one to experience this. Research from the Facebook dating site First Meet, formerly Are You Interested? Or AYI, oh, that was a tough one, in short, had looked at response rates, and in my particular case, we look at the female responding to males, as I already know my habits. So, there's a picture depicting like how women respond on dating sites, and black women have a 9.3% chance of responding to black men, and that is the only like arrow, like the only correlation that has holds true, because that is exactly what I experience. White females, 6.7 to white males. Asian females, 7.8 to white males, and Latino females, 5% to white males, leaving the Asian and Latino not being exposed to any responses from anyone, which again holds true to my experience. And there we have it. All of the pieces of the puzzle. I started off this journey thinking I wasn't good enough for society, that I wanted to know if I was ugly. But the truth of the matter is, society is built in such a way that the idea of venturing on the darker side is still not commonplace. At least I know somewhere out there in those green zones, my perfect partner exists. This gives me hope, regardless of whether I think I'm a 3, 5, or 5.5, 5.5, 5.5. One thing is for sure, there is someone out there that thinks I'm better than that, and that's all that matters. Am I ugly? Absolutely. On the other hand, there's green zones that may say otherwise. And that is it. That is that article in a nutshell. And wow, honestly, I did not expect it to go over 20 minutes. So that's actually really cool. So whenever I don't have any content, and I will probably not have content for a while because it takes so long to plan something. But with this, I've already written it, and I already know what I want to say. So it was kind of a natural progression. There was stuff I wanted to add in more episodes. Like, I wanted to talk about. Well, I can do it now, right? Because most people probably turned off by now. So, it should be for the hardcore. I'll put it in the next one. I wanted to add more. Like, I wanted to add more. I'm going to put air quotes here, advertising. Because, like, I have my merch store, and I usually have codes, and I never really give them out. So, I just wanted, like, just to put them. A place to put them. I wanted to put, like, because a lot of people don't have Uber yet, so I wanted to put Uber code so that you can get £10 off your first ride or £15 off. And then I wanted to talk about Patreon and how that works, but I thought not to do it in this episode because obviously I haven't got myself in gear yet. But I want to effectively just have content every week so that at least. Whoa, 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 Cortana, shut up. There we go. That was interesting. Cortana just came up. Anyway. So yeah, I just wanted to have content so that, I don't know, like the whole point of this is it's supposed to be a time capsule, and I'm doing a really good job. God, job. Job. What's this a job? I'm doing a good job on that, on the photo front, but I'm lacking severely on the digital front, the audio, the video, and the writing. I don't write as much as I want to, or I haven't edited as many videos as I want to, and I haven't recorded as many topics as I want to. 'Cause the idea was to do videos for YouTube with like shorter segments, but the problem is the amount of time that it will take me to edit those videos, set up the camera, do all of that is so much more than having just to plug in my microphone, check if the audio levels are cray. Cray. Okay. I was gonna say great or crazy, and then I said cray. That's a thing that happens. Anyway, I just yeah. So it's just easier to just set up the mic, and the thing with the podcast is I can stream just one stream of consciousness and just not worry about it. Because there's always going to be the people like, oh, you should amend your content. And I'm like, suck a dick, please. Thank you. Even if you like it, okay, still do it. Because, fuck you. I don't need your drama. I got enough on my plate. Oh, yeah, and yeah, video games. I need to play more video games. But yeah, the whole point of I'm talking about Patreon. So like the whole point of the Patreon would be like I would need to. It will give me a better idea of what. Because I listen to my podcast because they help me sleep, because I put myself to sleep. I'm that boring. But if there's someone out there who's got into this part of the audio, you must have topics you want to hear, like, because. Again, it is a conversational podcast. Even though I'm talking to myself. Insanity. That's how it starts. But yes, this is cool. This is great. I've recorded something. 30 minutes. Almost 30 minutes. 30 goddamn minutes of just nothing. And this last 5 minutes, I've been going with nothing. And I just want to stretch it out to make it 30 minutes. But actually, I might just end it there. Because, like, it's good. 26 minutes, 50. And anyway, you know, as always, I love you. Be safe. We'll work on an outro because I don't think I have one. And goodbye. I'm still here.